Y'all Elite Podcast. Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
Wait a minute. Sean Spears? Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
Hello and welcome everybody to AEW Aftershock. I'm your host, Zach Perez, at Spots High on Twitter. And this week, we're going to be jumping into the Bash at the Beach edition that we saw on the 15th of January. And a very Miami-centric style for this. Kind of a pay-per-view feel with some crazy tag team action kicking things off with a shot at the AEW tag team titles. And we also had Jon Moxley versus Sammy Guevara in a very heated contest after Moxley's refusal to join the Inner Circle and his swerve that he had last week. And we also had some great six-man tag team action as Diamond Dallas Page had his first match since 2011, if you can believe that, alongside Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall as they took on MJF and The Butcher and The Blade. And we had a fantastic main event as well as Pac takes on Darby Allin. And it was a just crazy night. Cody cut a terrific promo. And it was just a very full night and a lot of stuff to get into. So I think we should just dive right into it off the top with the tag team match that we had between Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz and versus the Best Friends in a fatal four-way tag team match for the number one contendership for the AEW World Tag Team titles. And if that's not a mouthful, I don't know what is. But it was a very back-and-forth contest. A lot of tandem offense, a lot of high-octane action, and it's just exactly what you would expect from AEW's tag division at this point. You know, just constant action, constant motion, and all sorts of tag team maneuvers. And it was a good showcase of four of the best tag teams in their division. I mean, if you count Hangman and Omega, who showed a very nice chemistry here despite their obvious tension building with their potential feud or whatever it is that ends up blowing off whatever is going on with Hangman, but they showed some great tag team offense, including the ending, which ended up seeing them take the win with a buckshot lariat V-trigger combination. And it just was so crisp and so smooth, and it was such a great way to start off a night, and a lot of quick action that kind of caught your eye right off the bat. So this was an excellent contest, kind of hard to put into words, and that's kind of the calling card for this division, and they just kind of keep proving over and over why they are the best. And you know, just even putting together people like Omega and Page, who they do have history with each other, but you know, aren't advertised as a tag team in this division, but now they're getting the title shot. So we'll see where this goes. You know, this could be the point where their relationship kind of hits the breaking point and they end up having some sort of heel turn between either one of those. We did see later on a video package from the Dark Order explaining some of their targets, and Hangman Page and Kenny Omega both were on there. So that leaves a lot of ambiguity in terms of who could be the one to turn, who is getting sick of who. And, you know, you ended up seeing after this that the Young Bucks were pretty upset with Omega and Page, mostly Page. But just showing that there might be a little bit more to this story coming very soon. So keep an eye out for that next week. But we then had Cody cutting a terrific promo here alongside Arn Anderson and, you know, just kind of going into the stipulations that MJF had laid forth for him. You know, kind of should have happened last week, but it still was worth the wait in terms of the content of this promo. So he essentially went through his stipulations and, of course, ended up accepting them, as we all kind of would have expected in the situation here, because he wants to get his hands on MJF at basically whatever cost. So he went into the details and talked about the lashes and basically said that it's not something that could break him. You know, physical pain is a part of being a wrestler and all that. And so he continued to just lay into him, trying to say that he's an old school heel without, you know, any personality, and that he was on the Rosie O'Donnell show when he was 8 or something along those lines. Just a lot of very interesting jabs and shots that you could tell had some real life purpose behind them, and pointed at his forehead and said that he's going to give him his own scar. So very Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight kind of ending to that, and it just definitely sold this feud as being intense, and you could tell that Cody is getting very comfortable on the microphone. He's cut some ridiculously good promos over the course of this past few months that AEW has been on television, so it just very much makes you anticipate what's going to happen at Revolution at the end of February, and just does exactly what you want to do with your segments on TV: build hype and get people to pay and put asses in seats for pay-per-views. It's a very old school way of doing things in a lot of ways, but it works when it works, and when you have somebody cutting a promo like this, the old school still works, as MJF would say later on in the night. But after this too, we had a little Joey Janela promo, which he went into Penelope Ford and addressing their background and kind of stating the fact that he thought that he told her that he wanted her out of her life and things like that. So took a couple shots at Kip Sabian and just saying that he could take him on whenever, and kind of what you would expect after what happened last week with him getting low blowed and all of that. So it's definitely interesting feud that will have some very good matches, I think, Janela and Kip Sabian. So I've liked Penelope Ford and her involvement in the managerial role as well, because I like the fact that she's kind of hitting some moves during the matches and getting more involved than just a distraction. So a very different style of manager, which I think is a refreshment for sure. But next up, we had the Nightmare Collective, which ended up being Mel and Brandi Rhodes rather than Awesome Kong, as she ended up ruled out due to illness. So we had Luther come alongside, and they took on Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida. And this was a decent little match. I liked the opening spot where Luther kind of stood in the way of Hikaru Shida, and she ended up going ahead and cracking him over the head with her kendo stick. So that was a nice little start, and was definitely a funny way to kind of get through the man who's supposed to be this kind of powerful leader of the Nightmare Collective. But this was a great contest all in all, in terms of putting over Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida, which I think was absolutely the right move. Statlander ended up hitting her Big Bang Theory finisher for the win, and just a good back and forth match. Rhodes didn't get involved too much. She kind of just stood off to the side a little bit and for a good amount of the contest, but you could expect that because she was a last minute fill-in. And Mel looked pretty good. I think that she definitely, known as Melanie Cruz or Raven's Ash and other promotions, I think that she will fit in very nicely here. She has a good size, a good look. You can tell JR and them were addressing it throughout the match and constantly pointing out the fact that she was kind of towering over both Statlander and Hikaru. So it was a nice match, a nice way to break up the action after the tag team match that we had to kick it off, and the promos, and then we ended up having another Dark Order video package, as I had aforementioned, and going through their targets. They had Omega, Cutler, Nakazawa, just everybody that you could think of that was associated with the Elite, and I think that eventually we're going to start seeing a few more members kind of don that mask and leave the Elite, and whether it's Hangman Page or Omega kind of feuding with each other. I don't know if that one in particular is going to address that or have either of them be a part of the Dark Order, but it's definitely something that is worth keeping an eye on, and I think they're doing it the right way, and they've kind of sidestepped their original who are you chants and things like that that were going on when the Dark Order first started out and, you know, was doing their lights out and appear thing without much context. So I think they've started to get this very right. And speaking of which, the things that they've done with Jon Moxley have been phenomenal. And just his whole character has been so fun to watch. It's very much like a modern day Stone Cold in the way that his attitude is, and him driving up the Ford GT into the arena was such a nice moment. I thought that was brilliant. And I just love the idea of him kind of screwing over this big corporation. It's very much apropos to his real life situation. And I think that it's a very brilliant illusion without being too kind of on the head with it, like maybe a sledgehammer to a throne like Cody did. So this was just a nice match between Guevara and Moxley to, you know, continue to sell the fact that he's dismantling the Inner Circle. So of course you would see him take the win here. The way he did it, however, was very interesting. He kind of reversed a moonsault that Guevara was trying to hit off the top right into a rear naked choke. Very MMA-esque in his approach. And he does have a match with Josh Barnett coming up at a GCW show. The name escapes me off the top of my head here, but it's interesting to see him kind of pulling out these MMA moves. Maybe we'll see him and Jake Hager kind of square off in some sort of mock shoot fight or submission match or something like that in the future as he continues to work his way through the Inner Circle. But speaking of which, we did end up having the Inner Circle appear in the ring and kind of lay a beat down onto Moxley. Nice teaser of the Hager-Moxley potential matchup, as he did end up kind of choking him out after a brief little brawl as he tried to take on all the members at once, which obviously ended up working to his disadvantage. But you know, all sorts of members of the group getting some offense in. Guevara getting a slap, Hager doing a running knee right to his jewels, if you will, and then Jericho ended up taking off one of the spikes off his jacket and stabbing Moxley in the eye. So that was definitely a very visually intense moment, and, you know, officials kind of coming down to his aid and trying to check on Moxley, get him into a ambulance and take him out of there. But we would see this wouldn't be the last of Moxley for this night. We'll have to see where that progresses to. And I just thought that they're really handling Moxley like a true superstar. And I think that it's because of the way they've handled him and also the way that he's handled himself. I mean, he's got so much character freedom here, and it just continues to show that it's a very good idea to give him that. And it makes you wonder what he could have done or could have been in the WWE if he had been given the kind of proper reins to do what he's doing now. You know, obviously certain things would have to be toned back and all of that. But I just think that seeing him in this free form and not having to be toned back is a very fun part of wrestling for me. It's very much a more throwback style character, in the fact that he's able to say what he want and do what he want and not have to worry about anything. So I just love this, and I think that Moxley is going to continue to be the top guy in AEW and eventually take the belt off of Jericho sometime. Maybe not Revolution, maybe the next pay-per-view after that, but I think that it's definitely Jon Moxley is coming for you, Jericho. So you better go ahead and loosen up the belt straps a little bit. You know, you're used to losing the belt by now. I mean, you did it the first time you had it in your grasp, right? So we ended up, next up was the six-man tag match that I mentioned before with MJF, Butcher, Blade, and, you know, taking on QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes, and Diamond Dallas Page. And this was just a nice moment to see DDP getting back in the ring, looking very fresh as he was hitting people. You know, definitely, obviously lost a step or two getting up there in age, but he looked very good considering everything, and he hit some nice clotheslines and was definitely a huge pop when he got the hot tag. And you kind of expected everything that happened here, except for maybe just how good the older age group ended up kind of besting the group of MJF, the Butcher, and the Blade for most of the match. I mean, Dustin Rhodes in particular just looks so good still for how he's getting up there in age, and DDP making his return to the ring, and QT Marshall is not exactly the youngest guy himself, but he's throwing himself all over the place and hitting some planches and suicide dives. It just was a very nice contest that did end up seeing the Butcher, the Blade, and MJF take the victory, but off of a surprise roll-up. So really it was showcasing the six-man tag on the other side more so than it was showing off the Butcher and the Blade or MJF, as they ended up taking a lot of the offense for most of the matchup, which was a bit of a curveball on an otherwise kind of straightforward contest here. But I definitely enjoyed it. It was very entertaining to see, you know, Dustin and Diamond Dallas Page in the same ring at an event named Bash at the Beach. It was kind of felt very WCW in a lot of ways, but at the same time with a big AEW spin in terms of you had Dustin nailing Canadian Destroyer and some crazy stuff going on here. So just all in all, I loved this matchup, and I thought that it was perfectly placed as it led into the Pac versus Darby Allin match for the main event. And this just had a little bit of everything in terms of what you can expect from AEW action. Some very fast-paced back-and-forth aerial assault, and at the same time you had some very stiff striking and a lot of different grappling moves, particularly from Pac, as he hit some power bombs and a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker that looked like he was trying to snap Allin over his knee, and you know, at the same time Allin hitting some very crazy moves too, his kind of float over stunner and, you know, a flipping sunset power bomb, you know, just all sorts of crazy offense that you kind of don't see so much of in other promotions, and in terms of the intensity and the rate at which they were kind of slapping each other around with these crazy, you know, drop kicks. And it just was very, very fun to watch. You know, you had some countering of the coffin drop, and then we ended up having Pac take the win as he ended up hitting his black arrow right to the back of Allin. So just kind of throughout the match using the theme of punishing the back so that he could end up hitting that for the finish. And this was just a great way to cap off the night. Finally, to close out the night, we had Moxley coming down after getting out of the ambulance with a eye patch on and, you know, the bandage from when he got stabbed in the eye by Jericho earlier in the night. And he basically said that he doesn't give a damn if he has to fight blind or, you know, if he's half dead. He will end up taking the victory to get that number one contender shot at Le Champion. So I think that this was a great way to cap off the night. And, you know, next week we're going to have the continuation of the Bash at the Beach. So I think we're going to be in store for another pay-per-view light sort of situation like this week was. I felt like there was so much crammed into this week, and it's definitely worth a watch. If you don't continuously watch AEW every week like I do, I think that this is a definite good couple of weeks to tune in for. And, you know, always make sure to check out too, I always put out a preview of Dynamite over on LastWordOnProWrestling.com. Also do a AEW After Dark review over on Pro Wrestling Post, as well as my 20 for 20 AEW series. So make sure you check those out. Always have some new articles coming out, so make sure to follow me at Spots High on Twitter to keep up on all of that. And of course, right here on the WWE podcast every week for the AEW Aftershock podcast, right here with you fine folks. So a crazy week all in all with AEW, and I think next week is going to up the ante even further. So I'll be making sure to give you all my reaction to the action right over here on Aftershock. So thanks for tuning in this week. And again, Zach Perez at Spots High. But for now, goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night.
Goodbye and good night. goodbye and good night.